Praise God for that. Glad the Lord Jesus took our sins away. And He has truly taken them away, never to be seen again. What an awesome, all-sobering thought. And Brother Jim, I'll never, ever, ever, for all eternity, ever see and hear of from the mouth of God a sin that I've committed. You think about that. The blood of Jesus has taken them away. And as far as God's concerned, I am now positionally righteous before the God of heaven. Isn't that an awesome thought? I'm telling you what, that'll get your shouter going. And I'm thinking about designating sometime this year. I didn't put it on the calendar, but I think it'll help us. I think one night we're just going to designate a shouting night. I heard some amens right there. That's good. But that thing, it was mostly ladies. Uh-oh. No, that's all right. We'll let the ladies shout too, amen. And that's right. That's right. That's right. We're gonna have a night where we're just going to shout. And like I told Brother Tim Sparks, I don't see him here right now, but we were just talking about trying to stay positive, man, and, you know, fighting the devil. It's easy to get discouraged. And we came up with a little saying, said we don't need to pout, we need to shout, amen. And that'll do us a whole lot of good. But good to see you on this Wednesday night, good Wednesday night crowd. And I just want to tell you, church, I appreciate your faithfulness to the Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting. And it is truly an indication of your desire to continue growing in Christ and to be strengthened and meet together for prayer. And I'm trusting that our Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study will continue to grow. I feel that, you know, we emphasize Sunday morning growth and getting people to church, and that's true. But I think equally along with that should be the Wednesday night prayer meeting growth, because what that means is believers that are already in the church, whether they be young, means they're growing and they're wanting to participate more. And I'm thankful for that. Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes. If it's been a while since you've been there, just go to the book of Proverbs and just go over one book right after the book of Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 is where we'll be for a little bit tonight. Ecclesiastes, and appreciate everybody's prayers as I get ready for the trip to Africa. We'll be leaving out Monday to go to Niger, and you may ask, well, have you done any packing? And I have not. And usually my packing starts, depending on what time I will leave Monday, it usually starts about, you know, 7 a.m. Monday morning. My wife, I'm going to tell you, I don't know who will go first, but I wouldn't be surprised if I give my wife a heart attack and she goes before me on some of the things I try to pull on waiting until the last minute to do stuff. Anybody work better under pressure around here? Yeah, you go, see? Yeah, several of you. Just seem, man, you get the pressure on, you just move quicker and more fervently, and always forget a few things too, but that's all right. But appreciate your prayers as we get ready for that, as I get ready to go for that. But also, if you would, just be thinking about our Sunday services coming up and our business meeting that night. We'll hope you've been praying about that. I do have some good news on the visual. It was mentioned, a couple of you said, was there any way to get a visual? And I think we found one. And so I'm hoping to have that on Sunday, to put up on the overhead and sort of give somewhat of an idea of what our foyer would look like. And I'll point out several other things that that we'll be putting into that, but at least give you an idea of what we're trying to do back there in our foyer. And so just please be praying about that, and I know the Lord will help us and encourage us. Ecclesiastes, I'm just going to begin reading in verse 1, 12 verses. Of course, we know this was written by the preacher, Song of Solomon, and this is sort of looking back at his life and the things that that he has regretted in life, things that God showed him were a waste, were vain, living. And I'm not going to go through all that, but we see here he pointed out things for us to be looking at to make sure we're not falling into the trap of a word we see often, and that is vanity. Things that are vain, things that make no difference. And so read with me here. I'll begin reading verse 1. You can read silently, but it says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 1, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children, and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he lived 1,000 years, twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increaseth vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" Let's pray together. Lord God, I'm thankful for the Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time. And I pray you'd just take this scripture tonight, Lord, and use it in our hearts to help us to be more mindful of eternity, to be more mindful of the things that really do matter on this earth. Lord, I'm asking that you would speak to our hearts now and draw us closer to yourself. And then, Lord, I'm asking that after we study the Scriptures, I pray that you would truly bless in our prayer time. I pray that it would be prayers led by your Spirit. And Lord, that I pray that we'd be able to move your hand upon situations we're all facing. And Lord, we'd see your mighty hand move in all of them. And so, God, we ask your blessings now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, we see here in this chapter, again, of the Song of Solomon, we see poetical writing, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and of course, this man, the wisest man in the world, who made some mistakes, even being that wise, had some real regrets and things that he learned from experience. And he is sharing that from experience, that he was one that sought after the fulfilled life through riches, through honor, through things that all man even today is still... Hey, that's one thing about the human heart. It has not changed since Adam. It has not changed since the first ones in the garden. And I want to tell you that we are facing with the same heart, the same struggle that they faced in that day. And notice a few things here we see through this. I'm not going to preach through this chapter. I'm going to bring it to a point at the end, toward the end of the chapter, where I feel like we should be directing our attention just for tonight. But I want us to see the common theme through this is that nothing a man is going after. Nothing on this earth, no matter how beautiful, how wonderful, how expensive, how fun, how amusing, how enjoyable it is, it can never fulfill His greatest need. It can never fill His greatest desire. Look what it even says there in verse 2. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not the power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity. What is this? This is an awful place to be. This is speaking of where even material riches are abounding, but yet this man doesn't even know how to truly enjoy them because he doesn't even recognize where they come from. What a miserable place to be. To never be truly satisfied. You think about that. Could you imagine always being thirsty? I mean, I got a little bit of a dry mouth now because I'm speaking, but I thank God for this glass of water and I can satisfy my thirst. Just like that, feels much better. But I can't imagine being in a state of thirst all of my life. Never being to quench that, and that does happen. But think of that spiritually. That's physically, but you think of that spiritually. Men are always looking to fill that void in their heart, yet cannot find it because they're not looking in the right place from the God of heaven. We see success here. We see prosperity. We see a man that had everything that he could possibly think of, but yet it was all vain. Look at verse 9. It says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. Basically, a man that couldn't even figure out and appreciate what he's looking at. Covetousness. Somebody that has got the blessings, they got things that they can look at, but yet they're always trying to get that out of the way, which they should be appreciating. They're trying to get it out of the way and see what else they can get a hold of. And that is a picture of our society. And that is a picture, my friend, of our community in many ways that are looking for spiritual fulfillment. Look there with me on down in verse 10. It says, Now again, that which hath been is named already and is known that is man, neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. And then verse 12 is where I just want to point our direction for the next few minutes. For who knoweth what is good for man in his life? We know who knows that. The Lord knows. All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Now I believe in the context of this verse, church, is speaking of the sovereignty of God through this passage. It's speaking of listen, only God knows what's going to be tomorrow. Nobody here, and if we could, we wouldn't believe each other. Even if we could, you think about that. I mean, look through the Bible, look at the prophets. I mean, they were foretelling the future. I mean, look at even the New Testament, the Lord Jesus and the things that were said. What were their responses? And they even had the ability that God had given them, but yet they just did not receive that. So even if I could, but the point of the matter is, I can't tell you what's going to be in your life tomorrow. You may not even be here tomorrow. This may be your last night at church for all eternity. This may be my last night. But we don't know that for sure. God knows that, and He is the only one that has the ability. And so I believe what He's talking about here is that even though a man is boasting of tomorrow, and this is what it's a picture of, it's somebody that's always looking for something else, and God said, look, you don't even know what tomorrow's going to bring you. You are searching and trying to find your fulfillment in vain. But I want to take this application to another level, if I could tonight. Look what he says here. He says, who knoweth what is good for man in this life? I want to tell you, number one, we know God knows, but can I say, just for application's sake, we do know as well what is good for man. It's called the gospel. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is what man needs. And by God's grace, that's what we're going to give them. And we're going to see God change their lives. And I want us to see here all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow. Man, what a picture of a man who's just spending his life thinking. Again, I'm sorry, I'm just using what's closest to me, and I've used this already, but even this dear family member that I loved dearly has just left off into eternity just a couple weeks ago. And from what I could tell, I'm not sure whether he knew the gospel. But I just think of him, and I think of others down the road that were seeking after things and seeking fulfillment in certain things. And that word is perfect, and they were just spending it up like a shadow, as a shadow that just is gone in no time. And then I think of that last phrase, "For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" Listen, and that's where I want to draw my point to. I want us to see the application, this goes deep, folks. This goes even deeper than just the surface of physical things for the next day. I'm talking about the eternality of a soul here. What holds for the man or woman, boy or girl, for the next day? I want to tell you what it is. It's eternity. That is what is there. Eternity. And that, my friend, is where you and I have the ability to tell them. We can't tell them when their last day on earth is. We cannot tell them what the troubles will be ahead, what the victories, what the blessings. We can't tell them these things. We can't tell them the successes that they're going to have. You know, you think about parents and saying, "Look, you know, these are the successes that your children are going to experience." And you know, you could go down the line of trying to things that we could tell people, but we can't. There's no way possible. But we can tell them the most important thing is that eternity is waiting for them. You know, man is constantly seeking to be filled. And we know that from what the Word of God teaches us so clearly is that there is only one thing that can fulfill man's greatest need, and that is Jesus Christ. That is the greatest need. And I just submit to you tonight, church, what are we going to do to help meet man's greatest need? What part are we going to play? In the coming weeks, we're all going to have an opportunity to participate. I'm so thrilled at the anticipation and the participation that I have seen already and the comments that you've made in our getting together for our outreach of taking it personally. That is where we are going to be able to help meet man's greatest need by giving them the gospel. Giving them the Lord Jesus. Because they're hungry right now. They're searching for more. They're constantly searching for more. I can't even tell you how many times I've gone up to a house, even right here since I've been here. And man, you look around the house and you would think, man, everything in the world that person, that individual has. I mean, you got fancy cars, you got the fancy toys, you got the fancy house. I mean, you just go down the line and that person seems to have it all, but yet you talk to them and it looks like one of the most miserable people in the world. And you try to speak of anything that would relate to Jesus Christ, and then there is an automatic anger there that you see come from them. "I don't need religion." Well, sir, you need something. That's what I feel like saying. But I know what they need. Yeah, you're right. You don't need religion. You need a relationship with your Savior, the one who loves you and who wants to give you that life so abundantly. You know, hold your place there and go over to with me to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 35. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Church, I submit to you tonight, that is eternal satisfaction. That is being eternally satisfied with Jesus Christ. Hey, church, can I just bring it down to our level too? The most satisfied people on the earth should be the people in this room. Not because of our nice church building or because we have electricity or because we have these nice things in life. Those are okay. But that's not where I'm satisfied. That's not where we get satisfied from. That's not our true satisfaction. It's in the bread of life. Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what they are looking for. And a lot of them do not realize it. I know that. You know that. They don't even realize what they're hungry for, what they're thirsty for. But by God's grace, and by God's power, we're going to do everything within our means and within our resources to make it available to them. Can somebody please say, Amen! Thank you. That's what we're going to do. You know, and dogs do it here too, but I remember in Africa, man, these African dogs, you talk about savagery. I mean, these dogs were crazy. I mean, they scared you to death. I mean, those Africans, they wouldn't even hardly walk out on the streets at night because of how vicious these dogs could be. And but one thing about an African dog, no matter how much you fed it, it was never, ever satisfied. I can remember seeing an African dog get a hold of a bunch of leftovers at Africa, some Africans that we were around or something, just threw a bunch of leftovers out in the yard. Couple dogs went in. Those dogs looked like potbelly pigs, and they were tearing that food up. And man, and you know what? One thing's for sure, they were looking for more. They were hungry for more. They weren't even satisfied. They were so filled, and they couldn't get enough. By the way, that's what a picture of our world looks like in so many ways. They're hungry and thirsty for the world and so many things, and it never will satisfy. But oh, praise the Lord, we know the one who satisfies. We know the one who can bring the bread of life. We know who can bring and quench any thirst, the Lord says. And that's going to be us with the sweet gospel message of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray that we will take this verse very seriously. Who can tell a man what will come under the sun? Lord, I know that we cannot tell a man what tomorrow holds for him. But I know, Lord God, that we can tell a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, that eternity awaits. And I pray, God, that You would burden our church and help us to understand this great truth, that we have the message. We have the antidote. We have the cure. We have the solution to their problem. Would You consume us with this truth, O God? Would You compel us and constrain us, as Paul said? Oh God, thank You for satisfying my soul, for Lord coming into my life and showing me that I needed nothing else but You only. Lord, would You help us even as the believers in this room tonight? Lord, I'm amongst some folks that are really struggling with contentment tonight. They are looking in all the wrong places, even as God's children, Your children. They're looking for the wrong things in the wrong places when they simply need to get back to You, Lord Jesus. Finding You enough. You told us, Lord, that You were the bread of life. And any man that come after You, he shall not hunger. And if any man thirst, Lord, You will make him in such a way he'll never be thirsty again. Oh God, thank You for that great truth. We commit that to You now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.